praise God, from whom all blessings flow. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Isn't it good just to be alive this morning? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, I'm a bit sore this morning. I'm preaching about Jesus, a hero of a thousand faces, and I think I tried to be a little hero this weekend. My friend down the street, who I was went to school with, bought this new Jim's Gold workout set. And he called me down Thursday night excited about purchasing this thing, and now it's up and running, and we worked out hard Thursday night, upper. And yesterday, he invited me again, 8 in the morning, to exercise my lower. So I'm kind of, I feel like toast. So if you see me just a little stiff, that's why. I'm very sore this morning, so keep me in your prayers. It's going to be a brief word this morning. Amen? Amen. From the Gospel according to John, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. It's going to come on the screens in just a little bit. I just want to share an opening joke that I think fits the Gospel according to John, where Jesus is performing a miracle regarding Lazarus. And most of us know the story of Lazarus. He's been in the tomb 4 long days, and now Jesus comes. He's a journey away, and he's now on the scene, and the sisters are sobbing and crying and questioning him regarding why he wasn't present. And Jesus shares these words, but you can kill that for now. I want to share this joke first. There's another joke regarding Billy Graham. I hope you've heard this, or I hope you haven't heard this. At age 87, Billy Graham was waiting on his front porch to be picked up by his chauffeur. And it dawned on Billy Graham, he says, I'm 87 and I've never driven a limousine. So the chauffeur walks up and he says, you know, I've never driven a limousine. Do you mind if I drive today? So Billy Graham gets the keys and they're driving down the highway. And 10 minutes later, he's pulled over for speeding. Yeah, so the police walks up to the window and Billy Graham rolls down these tinted windows. And when the police officer sees who it is, he is just shocked and amazed. Hey, Billy Graham. So he says, you know what? I'm going to have to call in on this one. So he calls his supervisor and he's on the phone. He says, you know, in the past, we've extended certain courtesies and passes to those who were famous and, you know, rich, successful, whatever. I was wondering if I can extend a grace pass to this person today. And so the supervisor said, well, who is it? Is it the mayor of the city? He says, no. He says, is it the governor? He says, no. He says, is it the senator? Who is it? Is it the president? He says, no, no. He says, well, who is it? He says, it must be Jesus because Billy Graham is a chauffeur. For those of you all who didn't get it, you'll get it on the way home. I thought that was so appropriate because in the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus has somewhat similar, a similar notion of he being a hero, this superstar, this Hollywood figure, if you will. He's doing all of these signs and miracles, and the word is out that, hey, this guy can heal this. As Dan preached last week, he can restore sight to the blind. He can feed more than 5,000. I mean, you got to come see this guy. You want to get your ticket. You want to get a front row seat because this guy is amazing. So Jesus had in their minds become this hero, if you will. And so I want now at this time to read the passage so you can capture some of that. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Thank you. That's it. Let us now bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Father, we just ask today that you get the glory. As DJ just sang from the depths of his heart, to God be the glory. Lord, we pray that today you get the glory from this preached word and that the church will become unified and edified in your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to begin this message, continue this message by asking you the question, who was your favorite hero when you were growing up? I recall Spider-Man and Superman and John Wayne and the Wild Wild West. I love the Wild Wild West because out of all of the situations he found himself in, he would always come up with that pretty suit. It wouldn't have a scratch or a tear anywhere. He could escape and a bomb could have just gone off. He'll still come out clean and the lady still, I mean, that was just my kind of guy. I love the Wild Wild West. He was just an amazing. Who is your favorite hero figure? Whoever it is, I want you to get that person in your mind. And I want you to recall why you are so attracted to that person. Perhaps it's because they had some kind of amazing power, or they did something that just fascinated and thrilled you. And Jesus Christ, in a sense, is the church's hero. And I hate the fact that a lot of us in the church, we don't celebrate and applaud him as our superhero. But in a sense, he is our hero. I've been reading works from Joseph Campbell. Are there any ladies in the house who are participants in the Loose Cannons Book Club? Raise your hand if you are. Loose Cannons Book Club. All right, wrong service, wrong time, but we'll continue on. Well, there's a woman's group, a book club, which is very great. There's maybe 15 to 20 ladies in that group. They meet on Thursday mornings in this room, the hospitality, the crying room behind you all. And they're reading through books. They've read the book that DJU recommended, Gracism, and I was invited to share with them regarding that. And now they're reading The Power of Myth. The Power of Myth. And this connects with Joseph Campbell. He's responsible for influencing many writers. How many of you have seen Star Wars? Raise your hand if you've... Okay. George Lucas, right? Directed that. Well, George Lucas got the ideas from Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell, as you can read the note from the pastor in the bulletin, Joseph Campbell has done extensive work with comparative religion and comparative mythology. A great, wonderful writer. He writes so well, you would still think he's living. But unfortunately, he died in 1987. But anyway, one of his works that I fell in love with in seminary is A Hero with a Thousand Faces. The Hero with a Thousand Faces. So I took that title and I'm using it this morning. Jesus, our hero of a thousand faces. And I want to share with you this morning what Campbell describes as the journey of the hero. The journey of a hero. The journey of a hero. The first step Campbell makes mention of is the departure. And I want to share the definition. The departure is when the hero ventures forth on a quest or a call to action. The hero must cross the threshold between the world he is familiar with and that which he is not. You may recall Abraham. When God called Abraham, he says, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to get up from where you are, leave your relatives and your country, and go to the land that I'm going to show you." That was the departure aspect. You recall Moses. When Moses was walking one day and he saw the flames from the burning bush, he went to the bush and God spoke to him. "Moses, I want you to go and set my people free. I hear the cries from them, those in Egypt, and I want you to go and set them free." That was the whole notion of departure. So when the hero begins to obey by going and following the commands of God, then they experience this, initiation. Can you bring that one up? Initiation is the second step, where the hero experiences a road of many trials or a succession of obstacles. You do recall Jesus was walking down the road to Jerusalem and he had the cross on his back. That was considered the road of many trials or a succession of obstacles. He had to go and endure through these painful experiences. The hero's idea of reality is changed and finds an ability to do new things or see a larger point of view. The hero is now ready to obtain that which he has set out for, an item or an awareness that once he returns will benefit the society that he has just left. So that's the whole notion of initiation. A lot of biblical characters were also initiated through the whole notion of circumcision. It was an initiation rite, incorporating them into this new way of living, this new community of faith, if you will. How many of you have experienced spiritual initiation? I told Dan, it's been the first week since you know, Dan is away in General Conference. And I said, "Dan, I think I survived my first week of initiation." Dan hasn't been here. We talked yesterday, by the way, and he's doing great. He wanted me to tell everyone hello. He's having a blast. The bishops are preaching well. The singing is awesome. So he is really enjoying himself, and he wanted me to say special greetings on his behalf. So greetings from Dan. But anyway, the initiation process can be painful, can be challenging, can be a daunting task, the initiation process. And the third step is the hero, the return. where the hero returns home with knowledge and powers acquired on the journey, and the hero bestows boon, gifts or benefits to his fellow man, catch this, to improve the world. Don't get bored on me. That's it regarding Joseph Campbell. No more. So those are the three phases: the departure, the initiation, and the return. This morning, what I want to celebrate in the midst of preaching is the fact that not only does Jesus Christ fit the description, but Jesus surpasses this description. Amen, church. How many of you realize that there are spiritual, beneficial blessings that only come by Jesus Christ? Amen, church. Do you agree with that? Amen. There are beneficial blessings that only come by Jesus Christ. And one of them is the whole notion of resurrection. It's resurrection. The church is afforded a certain power and experience because of Christ's resurrection. I want to share with you the definition of resurrection in the Greek. Resurrection in the Greek means a standing up again. You pronounce it anastasis. It means to be raised to life again. Resurrection, to be raised from the dead. But keep that thought in your mind. Resurrection means a standing up again, which means we all have the power through Christ Jesus to stand again. I know the gas prices are getting on your nerves because they're bugging the mess out of me too. The economy, the housing market is in shambles. The world just seems to be under a tight crunch right now. And a lot of us have experienced what's known as spiritual foreclosure. We've fallen in the faith. We've become faint-hearted in the fight. We don't have the fight, that fervor and that zest and that fire, that passion and that zeal anymore, because we're just under stress and under the crunch. But Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, which means I don't have to wait and die and then be resurrected. But because he is the resurrection now, I too can experience resurrection power right now. Amen, church. I too can be victorious. As a matter of fact, I'm not a victim in my situations nor circumstances, but rather I'm a victor over them because of his resurrection. And Jesus is speaking regarding the whole notion of death now, because the story goes, Lazarus was in the tomb 4 long days. His body had begun to decay. There was an odor even associated with it. They didn't want him to go in there because of the odor. The Bible speaks of that. But Jesus went anyway, and he spoke these words, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says Lazarus stood up. He came forth. In other words, he was resurrected. And you too can be resurrected in your walks of faith. I don't know what your situation is. It may be domestic violence. Someone may be going through financial difficulties right now. Someone may be battling for their lives regarding health right now. Makes no difference what it is. You are a victor because you are Christian in Christ Jesus. Amen, church. And because Christ has overcome the grave, you too can overcome your grave. Jesus gives us a command and permission to come out. You say, well, Pastor Allen, that's easy for you to say. Well, I brought proof with me to back up what I'm saying. Bring the next scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Listen at this. The next one, please. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know what that means in essence? It means that death does not have power over us. Spiritual death, physical death, no death has power over us because of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? In essence, that means that death is nothing other than a taxicab to give us a lift into the next dimension. Isn't that good news? Death is a means of transportation, but it is not a victor over my soul. Amen. So when I die, I'm really living. I'm being transported into the next dimension. It's my taxicab. You can order it. Come, death, come on. Give me a ride to the other dimension. Amen, church? So this is good news because it actually pinpoints the fact that we have power through Christ. And that's why I said as the premise, there are benefits. We're blessed to be in Christ Jesus. We have certain benefits that only come through Christ Jesus. As I hasten to a close, I want to share this final point with you. Do you recall that hero that I asked you to get on your mind? Do you recall that the episodes that you saw this Hollywood superstar or this hero figure? Did you notice that that hero never died? That's the footnote in Hollywood. The star of the movie always survives because they need you to watch it again next week. Amen, church. But Jesus surpasses Joseph Campbell's description of the journey of the hero in that not only is he willing to die, but he's willing to come back again and share certain gifts with the church. Catch this. So that we can participate as heroes and create new episodes. Y'all didn't catch that. That's a phew. In other words, Jesus says in John 14, I'm getting ahead of myself. He says, and this one is not going to come up. But you do have John 14. You don't have John 14 and 12, though. Let me read John 14 and 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So that means Jesus, in a sense, is a grand hero, but he's going to transfer his power to the church, give us gifts, resurrection power, so that we too can participate as sheroes and heroes. Now do you get it? And as sheroes and heroes, we create new episodes. What do you mean episodes? We're doing ministry. Fred Ramirez got up here and he spoke about how he went to Africa. That was the face of God in Africa. That was the presence of God through Fred in Africa. Some of us are now taking off our shoes and we're giving our shoes to the homeless. That's a presence and a face of God for the homeless population. When it comes to missions and evangelisms, whatever you do, you represent the presence and a face of God. And that's why I titled this, Jesus, Our Hero of a Thousand Faces. The face is shown through the church, through what we do, through how we are willing to serve. When we become a listening ear for someone who needs to vent, when we become bread for the hungry, when we become water for the thirsty, these are all faces of God at work. Isn't that good news? And the best news is this. In the Bible day, Jesus returned to the disciples and told them what to do. Guess what? The best is yet to come because he's coming back again for us. And oh, what a day of rejoicing it's going to be. I can't wait until he returns. But the question is, when he returns, will he find you foreclosed? Or will he find you sharing your face of God with the world? Because if God truly lives in you, it should be exuded through how you carry yourself and the things that you do for Christ Jesus. Amen, church? In closing, I want to share this quote with you. I hope that it blesses your heart. It's written by author Ash, and I think that it's very meaningful. To be a true hero is remarkable and sober, very undramatic. It is not the urge to surpass all others at whatever cost, but the urge to serve others at whatever cost. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to Almighty God. Let us now bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our superhero. Thank you for the gifts and the graces that you've provided to the Christian church. Thank you for your power and the resurrection over your grave. We thank you for that example. And Lord, we just ask to receive this word in a meaningful way that will apply to our daily living. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, the altar is now open for those of you who desire a special moment of prayer. And Holy Communion is also available for those of you who would like to partake of it. And the cupolas are here. If you have not brought down your pledge cards, please bring them down and attach them, pin them to the cupolas. All right? Thank you so much.